You'd think that as a video game podcaster and comedian, my life is all fun and games. And honestly, you'd be right. About 90% of the time, it's pretty sweet. But every morning, I deal with something very, very serious. My face. You don't become an Edmonton Six overnight. It takes work. And in my case, it takes good facial hair. And fortunately, I have a great facial hair tag team partner in Harry's. Hit up harrys.com/RTG for a $3 trial set and see what I'm talking about. Harry saw the tire fire that the shaving market had become and asked, how did it get like this? Crappy plastic razors, overpriced blades, all locked up like gold bars. And they said, no, we can fix this. And damn it, they did. Harry's ships premium quality razors right to your door. About once a month, I check my mail and there's that little box with everything I need to keep my kid presentable status. The blades stay sharp longer, which means an easier time getting my face in order in the morning. And the razors don't look like a dumb piece of plastic that a junior high schooler uses to take care of their peach fuzz. You have the facial hair of a man now. Shave like one. I actually leave my razor handle on the bathroom counter all the time just because it looks so damn classy. Harry's blades are German engineered and they're made to last. They're the best blades on the market for the best price, and you don't even have to go out to get them. Set your delivery schedule and shave like a king. I know it sounds sarcastic, but I'm being serious. I've used Harry's forever. These blades are really freaking good. Highest reviews in the industry, a money back guarantee that you're not going to need, and a subscription that you can cancel anytime you want. Getting ripped off isn't funny. Switch to Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/RTG. That's harrys.com/RTG for a $3 trial set. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Remember the Game, my retro gaming podcast, where every single week a buddy of mine and I sit down and geek out about the games we played back in the day. My name is Adam Blank. Thank you all so much for listening, hopefully subscribing, reviewing, supporting, worshiping, whatever it is you do. If it's your first time listening to the show, welcome. I hope you've got very low expectations that we could possibly reach. This week for episode 52, we are talking Super Mario Bros. 2 for the Nintendo Entertainment System. It's the freak of the NES Mario games, right? But I like it. Frankly, I like it more than Mario 3 sometimes, depending on my mood. And that might be blasphemy in the retro gaming / Nintendo communities, but tough cheese. It's a good game. My buddy David Ray is back. We're going to get into that in just a few minutes. As you guys know, I like to ramble and listen to myself talk, so I'm going to do that for a few minutes first, and then we're going to talk some Super Mario Brothers 2. If you're new to the show, please follow us on social media. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at MemberTheGame. I try to follow everybody back that follows us. I love interacting with people on there. I've had a lot of great interactions with people, actually, the last couple of weeks. It's been really cool. Just people reaching out saying they like the show or asking about certain games. So if you're new to following on one of those and you've reached out and said hi, or if you're just following, whatever, thank you. Thank you so much for caring at all about the show. There's also been a ton of new people popping up on Facebook, on the Facebook page. I think one of our regular guests kind of did some plugging of his own on his Facebook page, and we got a lot of traffic from it. So, dude, I know hopefully you're listening to this. Thank you so much. I've already reached out and told you that in person. But yeah, we're facebook.com/rememberthegame. You can find us there, and we like to interact with people on there as well. I post all of our updates and upcoming show hints and all that good shit like that. So that's the social media plugs, three sources to follow. And finally, as you guys heard off the top of the show, we are on Patreon. I won't spend a ton of time on it. I've done that enough already. The deadline to get July's rewards is Sunday, June 30th. So if you guys want to get in, please do patreon.com/rememberthegame. $2 a month is all it takes. And for $2, you're going to get a shout out on the podcast. You are going, and if you're wondering where the shout outs have been, the first Patreon invoicing billing cycle or whatever, they don't happen until the first of the month. So this is the first one. So I'll be plugging next week. Will be when you'll be seeing your plugs. For $2 a month, you get a plug on the show. You get access to two additional episodes on the second and fourth Monday of every month. And you get entered into a draw to win 25% of everything we raise. So I'll be posting a video with the draw in the first week of July. It's a reverse draw, so I pull every name out, last name in the hat wins. That way everybody can see that all of their entries they purchased were in the hat. And we're recording the two bonus episodes, pardon me, in the coming days as well. One of them is a game review just like this one is, but of a more modern game that has something to do with retro or old school on it. And we've decided to go with Cuphead for the first one. I know it's not a retro game, but it's got that 1930 nostalgic feel, so I thought it would tie in, and I love it, Cuphead. So that'll be coming out on the second Monday of the month, and then on the fourth Monday of July, there will be a Q&A episode where it's just me, just a longer rambling one like this. People are more than encouraged to send in questions or topic ideas for it. I will address every single one of them. And if by some fluke I get like 800 suggestions, then I'll record two or three podcasts to make sure I get to them all. Please don't hesitate to send those suggestions in. I'll be reaching out to everybody on Patreon in the coming days to remind them if you have any questions, topics you want to talk about, anything like that, shoot them to me. So anyway, $2 a month gets you all that. So please just consider it if you can. Patreon.com/rememberthegame. And we're giving away a Sega Genesis Mini in September if we hit a goal of $100. And we're very, very close. So I have placed the pre-order for two Sega Genesis Minis. I can still cancel one if I have to because I'm buying one, goddammit. But I want to use some of the money to give away a second one. So get in on that. Only people eligible to win it are the people supporting the show through the Patreon. That's enough Patreon talking. Let's get to what else is going on in video games. A Commodore 64 Mini is coming out. So what? Apparently there's a PC Engine Mini coming out too. Apparently there's like all these mini classic consoles are fucking dropping like flies now. Obviously people saw the NES one and decided to try to cash in on it. And I mean, I think the Super Nintendo Mini is the bar. I think most people would agree with that, that the SNES Classic was a fucking 10. But the NES was great. It was the one that initially started this whole thing because it was selling like fucking hotcakes. And like ever since then, like what have we had? We've had the NES, the SNES. There's been like Atari one, Sega Genesis. I think there's a ColecoVision one. Just everything, you know? And like what's left now? Because I feel like the shark has been jumped. You know, if there's a Commodore 64 Mini coming, if there's a PC Engine, I think, Mini coming. I don't know if that was just a joke or not, but I did see someone tweet about it. Like, what's left? Like, there's, a PS2 Mini, I think, would make some sense, assuming that Sony realizes how bad they fucked up the PS1 Mini and makes it count with the PS2. Frankly, they should re-release the PS1 Mini and not fuck it up, but that's neither here nor there. A PS2 Mini, maybe. A Dreamcast Mini, I don't think happens, but that would be really cool if it did. I think maybe if the Sega Genesis sells well enough, Sega will... I could see Sega considering it. I think the problem with a Dreamcast Mini is that the controller is fucking twice the size of the mini console. So that might cause some problems. There's the Nintendo 64 Mini people have been talking about for years. And literally it feels like everyone has said the Nintendo 64 Mini is coming except for Nintendo. You know, and they've basically said they don't have a ton of interest in doing it, at least not at the time being. I think there's issues with emulation of it. I think there's issues with the controllers and how big they are. I think they're worried it wouldn't look good. And quite frankly, the Switch, like when they released the NES and the SNES Mini, they were in the dumps, you know, like the Wii U was dying and they needed to do something. But now they've got the Switch that is selling like fire. And I don't know if they want to release something else where they're basically competing with themselves, you know? Like, even the 3DS, they're basically have dropped. Like, I thought the 3DS or the DS or whatever you want, 3DS, 2DS, DS, new DS, whatever the fuck they're called. I thought that console would go on forever, you know? And they finally seem like they've moved away from it because I don't think they want to be cutting into their own market share, you know? So I think maybe a Nintendo 64 Mini is something that could happen down the road. I would certainly buy one if it ever did, but I don't really care if it ever does. I'd rather have a GameCube Mini than a Nintendo 64 Mini. I don't think we'll get either, but some people have said a Game Boy Mini, but I don't think that'll, I mean, the Game Boy itself, I think those games, I think people would shit all over that thing if it came out. They'd buy it because it looked cool, and then they'd realize that these games have not aged well at all. You know, I think a Game Boy Advance Mini is more likely. I feel like I've said Mini. It's just, I can hear it in my head, like Mini. A Game Boy Advance Mini might be neat. You know, maybe that's something they do down the road. But there's just so many of them, you know, and they're my preferred way to play retro games, quite frankly. Today, I have an NES, an SNES, and a PlayStation Classic all hooked up to my TV up here in my office. I've tinkered under the hood of them, and that's all I'm going to get into with that. But that's my preferred way to play games now. It's convenient. There's no blowing in cartridges or spending tons of money on old games. And I'm not shitting on people that collect, dude. It's totally, dude, I love looking at game collections. We actually have an episode upcoming of this show here in the next few weeks about game collecting from me and another former collector and just our thoughts on the hobby and stuff like that. I have no beef with collectors. I just, it's not for me. These are the way to go, in my opinion. And I'm kind of curious if like, if these mini consoles are hurting the collecting market at all. I mean, probably not, because I mean, like, ROMs have been around for far longer than these mini consoles have. So if you were a game collector before these, then you're probably a game collector after, because you prefer to play it on the actual hardware than playing with ROMs anyways. But I don't know. I put that note down about, you know, my notes here that I talk about for the intro and about how I wonder if it's hurting game collecting. And then as I was saying it, I was like, that's fucking stupid. Like, ROMs existed before. They're going to exist afterwards. No one's going to care. So Commodore 64 Mini, if you're interested in it, let me know. I think you're crazy, but that's just me. Speaking of the Game Boy Advance Mini, actually, here's something else too. My pal Chris, a frequent guest here on the podcast, got me a Game Boy Advance and a copy of Mother 3, a translated copy of Mother 3, for my birthday last year, which was a fucking incredible gift. I played through Mother 3. It was awesome. I really hope we get a North American release of it someday. After playing it, some of the subject matter that's in it, I think, is a little bit, what's the word I'm looking for? There's some sensitive topics addressed in it by today's society standards, so I maybe wonder if that's the hesitation to release it, because it's really not something, the characters in the game that I think might cause a little bit of a fuss are not ones they could simply just remove from the game, so I wonder if that's their hesitation. But anyway, point I'm trying to make is I have a Game Boy Advance sitting here, and I don't have any games other than Mother 3, so I'm looking for suggestions. Advance Wars is in my sights, because I never played it, and I'm totally into those types of games. I'm completely obsessed with those types of games now, as you're going to hear in a second when I get to what I've been playing. So I am looking for suggestions. Pokemon is maybe up there. I did play the Mario & Luigi Superstar Saga game back in the day and fucking loved it, so I'd probably keep my eye out for that. But there's a Game Boy Advance game that you think is really, really good that you think I should be checking out, that's preferably not hundreds and hundreds of dollars. Please shoot me a message. Shoot me on Instagram or Twitter or on here or Facebook or whatever, and just let me know. That'd be really neat. Yell it at me at a comedy show if you want. I don't care. On that note, sorry, I just read my notes here. I am playing a ton right now. I am playing a fucking ton. Like, it's really, and I'm enjoying it. I'm not complaining. It's been rad, but like, our Let's Plays are up on YouTube as of the day that this is publishing, which is June 26th. The last episode of our Super Mario World playthrough will be going up. So you can find those all over at youtube.com/rememberthegame. There's a new episode every day of the Let's Play series. They're usually about 15 minutes long. They contain a ton of foul language, but I'm really enjoying it. I'll tell you, like, if you're interested in replaying some old games, try doing a Let's Play of one of them if you've got the equipment to do it, because it has completely changed the way these games play for me. They've gotten way harder because I'm trying to focus on what I'm saying while I play the game. And I love them, dude. I'm really enjoying it. So I've got the next series. The next game is ready to go. And that I'll let the cat out of the bag, because they'll be launching tomorrow, June 27th. That's Donkey Kong Country on the Super Nintendo. So I've got a playthrough of that coming. And then the game I'm going to do after that, I'm thinking Metal Gear Solid for the PlayStation 1. I don't know how well that's going to translate into a Let's Play, because it's a little bit slower and there's a lot of like talking and stuff like that. I'm brand new to Let's Plays. I don't know anything about them. I'm still learning. I just haven't played it in got to be coming up on 20 years or however long it's been out. Like, I played it right after it came out. I don't think I've played it since. And so I don't remember any of the story really or anything. And I'm excited. I just want to play it again. And so I thought, well, if I want to play it anyways, then let's record a Let's Play of it and put it up. Is there a particular game that you think would be cool to watch a Let's Play of? If you're watching the Let's Plays, let me know in the comments or in the messaging on the Instagrams and stuff. That'd be cool. I'm just looking for reasons to play these old games, quite frankly. I haven't had time to go on Twitch, really. I did intend on streaming on Twitch. I still intend on trying to get some streaming done on Twitch. I just don't have time. My intention was to do it at night after I get home from my comedy shows. I'm a stand-up comedian, for anyone that didn't know. I usually get home about 10:30 at night, and honestly, man, I'm just wiped by the end of that, and I just want to sit down and relax for an hour and play something without having to worry about doing the commentary on it. So Twitch is probably coming. I just haven't had time to really get too far into it yet, and I don't really have the equipment, so my Twitch streams wouldn't be great, but it's probably coming. So anyway, where are we at here? Holy fuck, I'm at 12 and a half minutes. Okay, I'm gonna tell you guys what I've been playing, and then I'm gonna shut up. and get Super Mario Brothers 2. Primarily this last 7 days, I've been playing Wargroove. It is a tactical strategy game. I don't want to call it an RPG because it's not really an RPG at all. It's just like a tactical game on the Switch that apparently is very similar to Advance Wars from what everyone has told me. I haven't played. It's why I got thinking about the Game Boy Advance and Advance Wars, because I'm really enjoying Wargroove, and people have said if you like Wargroove, you would like Advance Wars. Really fun, super fucking hard, like punishingly hard. Especially if you want to try to get like a perfect score on every map. I've almost given up on that, and I'm just trying to finish every level. But it's not expensive. I think it's like $20 if you have a Switch and you're into tactical games and you like a challenge. I'd recommend it. Wargroove is good. I've also dipped back into Dead Cells. It's one of those ones that I keep coming back to. If you haven't played Dead Cells, it is a rogue, I think it's, is that how you describe it? Like a rogue action type game where you're going to die over and over and over again. But every time you do, you get just a little bit stronger, kill bad guys, collect these blue orbs that are called Dead Cells, and then you can spend those on more powerful things, more powerful items and stuff like that. And obviously, every time you go through the game, you get just a little bit more powerful, and it's just over and over and over until you reach the end. But the rogue aspect of it flips the board around or the map around every single time. If you remember, there was a big like plagiarism scandal at IGN like a year ago. A dude, Philip Mewson, got caught plagiarizing all of his reviews and stuff. And one of the review that got him caught was the review of Dead Cells. And I think a lot of people, when they think of Dead Cells, if they know what it is, the first thing they think of is that plagiarism scandal, which is too bad because it deserves to be out of that shadow, man. It is a fun game. It handles great. It's like silky smooth, the controls. It's fun to play. It's not expensive. Again, another indie on the Switch. So we'll probably do one of the secret episodes about Dead Cells eventually here on the show. One of the Patreon exclusive ones. So give that a shot too if you're looking for something to play. Thinking about diving into Metal Gear Solid, like I said, for a Let's Play. And I have also been playing an NES game in preparation of my second video review. It's a hard game, but I'm having a great time playing it and working on it. Honestly, out of all this stuff, like this stuff is taking a ton of time. Between the podcast, all the Let's Plays, interacting with people and trying to build a following for the podcast, and then the editing of the review videos, like it's hours and hours every day. And it's actually starting to dip into my comedy a little bit. And I know you're probably, anyone that's got like a real job where they work hard is listening to this and being like, poor baby, I'm not complaining, dude. Life is great. I'm so happy. But like comedy is what pays my bills. So I can't fuck around too much. I got to stay focused on that. Always trying to write new jokes and get it out to hitting up the mics and going on the road and booking shows and stuff like that. But this has just become such a great distraction to me. And honestly, I mean, the podcast is rad, but I really enjoy doing the video reviews. Like the Mario Kart one we put up, I've gotten great feedback on it. I probably worked on that video for 30 or 40 hours for an 8-minute video review. And I'm really excited for the new one I'm working on right now. I don't know how often they're going to go up because they just kind of have to go up as I get time to finish them. But it's just something I've wanted to do forever. I love the creativity of the writing and editing and learning how to do all that stuff. So there's another video review coming. If you didn't see the first one yet, youtube.com/rememberthegame. You can find all the old podcasts, our Let's Plays, and our video reviews go up there. And there's about an 8-minute review of Super Mario Kart for the Super Nintendo that I'm pretty proud of. So if you're interested, check that out. With that said, we're at fucking 16 minutes of rambling. I hope I don't ramble too much. I probably do, but whatever. We're going to get to the podcast, you guys. This week, we are talking Super Mario Brothers 2 for the NES. It is the freak game of the series. I'll give you a really quick summation of why it is here. Nintendo developed a sequel to the original Super Mario Brothers that would have been Super Mario Brothers 2, released it in Japan, and when the people in North America got their hands on it, they were like, this is way too fucking hard. And it is. And it eventually found its way over here as The Lost Levels, if you've ever played it. There's an episode about The Lost Levels, actually, in our archives of the show here. But what they did is there was another game in Japan called Doki Doki Panic, made by Nintendo. And they decided to just swipe out the main characters of Doki Doki with Mario, Luigi, Princess, and Toad. And then it found its way over here as Super Mario Brothers 2. That's a really quick version of it. It is awesome. I recently played through it on the Mario All-Stars cart and really enjoyed it. I think that's the definitive way to play it. By the way, the Super Nintendo compilation package. Really good game. It's probably my favorite of the three NES Mario games. And maybe that's just because I played Mario 3 so much. I never owned Mario 2, so it's like that forbidden fruit. But I'm going to cue the music. My guest this week is my resident NES super fan and buddy, David Ray. He is back. We are going to have a great time talking about Super Mario Brothers 2 that released in North America originally on October 9th, 1988. 31 years ago, you old fucks. kick back and relax, everybody. I hope you enjoy this week's podcast as David and I talk Super Mario Brothers 2. Here we go. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Podcasting's a weird job because I talk to you nerds all the time. Every day, I tell you all about my life, the good and the bad. The ugly, I kind of keep that offline. And it's not that I don't want to talk about it. I'd love to talk about it. I just need to pick and choose who I talk to. We all have stuff that just lives in our minds, rent-free, 24/7. Talking about them can really help because the longer you keep something bottled up, the more likely it is to blow. You've heard me say it before, and you're going to keep hearing me say it. Therapy is the way. Therapists can be that ear to bend when you really need to get something off your chest and don't know who to talk to. And BetterHelp is a great way to go about it. I don't BS you guys. I don't say I've used something if I've never used it. I've personally talked to a BetterHelp therapist about the stuff going on in my personal life, and I genuinely found it helpful. To have someone to talk to that doesn't have any skin in the game, that can just listen and try to help me come up with a roadmap to get through the tough times, it's just invaluable. It has seriously really helped me. I've talked to my therapist through video, and you can do it that way, or you can do it over the phone, or even just over chat. And they give you as many schedule options as possible so you can work a session in around your life. It's licensed therapy, as convenient as it gets. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/rememberthegame today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/rememberthegame. All right, welcome back to Remember the Game, everybody. My guest this week is returning to the show, one of our more popular guests, Mr. David Ray. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good. I feel like I say that that start has always been the same.
Oh, it's always the same. Like, for anyone that doesn't know, like, I record 2 to 3 of these per, like, session when we sit down. And so, literally, I start every single session with, like, so, how are you, my friend?
No, I'm changing my answer. I feel like a piece of shit now.
There, thank you.
Something's changed in the last half hour.
This is the third one we've recorded in a row. We've been recording podcasts for an hour and a half. And so this is the third time I've been like, how you doing, David? He's like, I'm fine. Still fine. And finally, yeah, I feel like a piece of shit today. Fuck off. Today we were talking about one of the games that, admittedly, I'm a little bit surprised it took this long to get to on the podcast. We've talked Super Mario Brothers 3. Mm-hmm. And we've talked Super Mario Brothers The Lost Levels.
Yeah.
Which I know is Super Mario Brothers 2. Mm-hmm. Whatever. Today we are talking it's funny because it's not the real Super Mario Brothers 2, but it is the real Super Mario Brothers 2.
For North Americans, yeah.
As far as I'm concerned,
because I did The Lost Levels with you.
Yeah. As far as I'm concerned, like, I know that, like, in the annals of history, mm-hmm. it's not the real Super Mario Brothers 2, but as far as I'm concerned and as far as North America is concerned, this is Super Mario Brothers 2.
Did you know, this actually starts off, because, like, I remember when we talked about Lost Levels, we talked about, like, that history and background, yeah, and all that kind of stuff. And I can't remember if I said it there, but the interesting thing is then when Super Mario 2 took off here, they didn't have that version with the Mario skins, yeah, over the characters. And so they, like, decided, okay, well, we'll release that game back in Japan. And do you know what they called that game?
No.
They called it Super Mario USA.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I did not know that.
Yeah, so they did get
That's cool. So we both got each other's games eventually.
Yeah.
So we got Lost Levels. They got Mario USA.
Yeah.
Even, so just like in a 10-second summation, I can't imagine anyone listening to this doesn't know the story. Basically, Nintendo created a sequel to the original Super Mario Brothers. That was Super Mario Brothers 2, and it was really, 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 really hard.
Mario 1 sprites and mechanics.
It was very similar to Mario 1, just turned up to 12 with, like, a couple new things like wind and poison and mushrooms and stuff like that. And they were like, those Americans could never possibly beat this game. It's too hard.
No, one dude decided that.
Right, okay, there you go. Yes,
and
okay.
Nintendo of America was just like, I don't get it, and I don't like it.
Fucking stupid.
No one gets this
game. So then what they did is they took a game that had been released in Japan called Doki Doki Panic, and they basically just put Mario skins in it and dropped it in America as Super Mario Brothers 2. And so that's why, like, if you've ever played Super Mario Brothers 2, it's such an oddball game. It's weird. There are bad guys in it that actually some have become mainstays in
now,
Mario,
yeah,
but, like, they had never shown up before. They didn't show up again for quite a while.
Yeah.
And that's what we're going to break down today. I'm pretty excited because I fucking love this video game, man. Yeah. I honestly, it's probably my favorite of the original three Mario Brothers games on the NES. What about you?
Oh, that's an interesting take because I always feel that that's one. I feel like it's either you love it or you hate it. Kind
it
of
totally
a thing.
Is. Yeah.
Or at least, especially when you're a kid. Like, yeah. I even know people who hated Mario 2.
Yeah.
But I think for me, it's always like, I think it's been in the realm of like, it's not as bad as people say. Like, that's what I always felt like as a kid. And then now it's just like, oh, it's just, it added so much depth to the Mario world.
Totally.
To the Mario universe or whatever.
And that's the thing is like, I mean, we can get more into it, but like, there's so many aspects of this game that have come over, excuse me, to just the Mario universe. And I mean, like bad guys, like
Shy Guy,
like Birdo, Shy Guys, Ninjas,
Well, like, Ninja's not as much, but yeah.
But yeah, but like, that's where they came from, right? Like, it's, I mean, this game introduced the idea of Toad and Princess being playable characters, mm-hmm. with Princess having that little float thing that she still does.
The
to
difference
this day.
Between Mario and Luigi, although to be fair, that wasn't the other
that's,
Mario.
That's
too.
What I was gonna say. But yeah, they did add like Luigi got his weird jumping in the Mario.
He looks different.
He does look different. Yeah. Like, there's a lot of cool aspects to this game that like originally got introduced through this game that are now just parts of the Mario folklore. I think the biggest ones are probably Shy Guy and Birdo.
Yes, those are the ones say the most. Yeah.
See, so when I was a kid, this game was like the forbidden fruit because we owned Mario 1, we owned Mario 3. I did not ever own this game.
Yeah, neither did I, actually. Right? I borrowed it from a friend or whatever.
And I didn't know a lot of people that owned it. Like, because everyone owned the original Super Mario Bros. Because it came with the Nintendo, right?
Yeah.
And then it seems like everybody owned Super Mario Bros. 3 because it was Super Mario Brothers 3.
I think it's because 3 is a lot more connected to 1 than 2 is to the other two,
yeah.
right? Like, it is so markedly different.
Yeah. Like, I didn't know a lot of people that owned this. I had one friend that owned this one, and every time I went to his house, I would play it. And I was always like, this is the coolest thing, because I love the idea of playing as Toad.
Yeah.
I love the idea of playing as Toad. I thought that was, like, the greatest thing in the world, being able to play as
Because he's so
characters.
Quick on the pickup. And
To this day, he's my go-to. I actually played through this game about 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
I played through it on the Mario All-Stars package, which is the definitive way to play those games. It is.
They're pretty. Like, they're the Super Nintendo version of that game.
Yeah, yeah. They're gorgeous.
Yeah.
But I think I beat, because at the end of the game, when you beat the game, it shows you how many levels you beat with each character.
Yeah.
And it was like I beat all but one with Toad.
Yeah.
Like, he's my go-to. Like, so just quickly, I do want to know who is, okay, I'll ask before I explain the differences. Like, what was, who did you have a go-to, or did you kind of rotate through?
I try to play around with most of them. I think the person I used, like, I would use people in certain situations. So Princess would be in certain.
There were points where she was pretty handy.
Yeah, yeah. So the high stakes jumping ones.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is like, I need like a little bit more finesse.
Yeah.
Although I liked Luigi's jumps because he can jump so high.
So
I
think high.
He is a slow pickup, but I liked that control that he got with him.
Yeah.
But it's just not as good as Princess's.
No, it wasn't.
But so Luigi. Luigi is always my go-to.
Right. It's cool because like Mario, as always, is the everyman that does everything fine. It's so boring. Like, I love Mario, but it's so boring. He just does it all. Luigi's got this weird ass flutter jump where he can go like halfway up the screen.
Yeah.
And then kind of flutters his way down. And he always kind of handles like he's on ice in the air.
Yeah.
But if you can get a handle of it, like, he can get so high. You know, it's really handy. Toad picks stuff up really fast. Apparently he's like the tough guy of the group. He's the strongest one.
Do you know like what they were in Doki Doki?
No.
So Doki Doki Panic was, do you know the story about that game? Like why it was even made in the first place?
No, I don't.
So that one was made because they were making a festival in Japan, and it was going to have these four characters as their, it was this family, this Arabian Nights thing going on.
Okay.
And that's why there's so many Arabian Nights hype.
Right.
Of a feel throughout the whole game.
That makes sense.
And the family were these four characters. They went and approached Nintendo of like, can you put out a game? And somebody was already thinking of making a game that scaled upwards.
Okay.
Like, that was the whole idea. It was like, oh, that'd be, instead of going left to right, like going up and down.
Because there's a ton of that in this game.
Yeah.
Climbing,
And so that's where they're like, oh, well, we'll take our game, use these characters as our sprites in them.
Okay.
And then when they decide to make Super Mario 2 out of it, they just paint it over. And I think Toad was the father, is a paint okay. over the father. The princess is a paint over of the mother, maybe, or the sister. It was one of those two. Luigi is the other one.
Right.
It is either the mother or the sister. And then Mario is actually like the son.
Like the son. Oh, yeah. Well, then that makes more sense for Toad then, because the father would have that old man strength. Because I love it. Like, so Toad picks stuff up so fast, and then Princess picks stuff up crazy slow.
Yeah.
But she's got the float, right? Which is, there are a couple aspects, a couple of moments in that game where that float is pretty fucking handy.
Like,
man,
when you're jumping from magic carpet to magic carpet.
Yeah, or the whatever. Logs that are floating down the water. Falls yeah. and stuff. Like, there were points where that float, like, I feel almost like it's cheap to use that float, but there yeah. are times where it's like, I don't think I can beat this without that float. Like, it's pretty handy.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, basically at the core of this game, like, to me, that's where the magic of this game is the four, being able to pick between the four characters, yeah. right? Like, it was, I mean, in the original Super Mario Brothers, you could play Mario or Luigi. I mean, if you were first player or second player, but they were exactly the same. It was just a sprite swap with the colors, right?
Yeah.
This time to have four completely unique characters that you could play through a Mario game with was really, really cool.
And they had a couple of different things that they can do different. Well, it's that whole pickup thing, right? Like yeah. that changed things. And I mean, that does actually relate back to Mario 3 of like how it influenced Mario 3, because you could pick up turtle shells.
Yeah, yeah. In Mario 3, you could pick up turtle shells and throw them around and stuff yeah. like that. And like, yeah, in this one, like the whole game is based around picking stuff up. You can pick up yeah. 3/4 of the enemies other than like spiky ones or yeah. ones that spit fireballs and stuff. And then you can run around with them over your head and throw them at each other.
Yeah.
And then you can also pick up vegetables, throw the vegetables at each other. There's items in the ground and stuff like that.
It actually also reintroduced the POW block.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, 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 you're right. It did.
Brought that back from like the original Mario game.
Yeah, like old. I love that game too. Like the original arcade Mario Brothers. Yeah, that's yeah. a pretty rad game too. Yeah, completely just like... Like I said, I it blew my mind. I remember playing it at my friend Cody's house. It was the first time I ever played it. And it like legitimately, I was like, what is this? Because I was like, this isn't Mario.
Yeah.
And I'd already played Mario 3 before I ever played Mario 2.
Mm.
And so I really just assumed it would be like a between Mario 1 and Mario 3. Like you'd just be running left to right, jumping on bad guys and stuff. And I was like, what is this? Like you can pick stuff up, throw them at each other. You can control all these different people. Like
the logs thing was kind of cool. Like those log levels.
Where they come from the background yeah, almost.
The climbing up. Because I don't even think Mario 3 really had scaling up levels, did they?
A few, like in Skyland, there's a few where you're going yeah, up in the yeah. clouds and stuff, but no, not like Mario 2 does. Mario Whereas, 2 like, is
you
almost
had to go straight. You're literally climbing. Yeah.
I also think this is the hardest of the three Mario games, in my opinion. The yeah. first like four worlds, I think, are a piece of cake, and then once it starts getting hard, it gets fucking hard, man.
Yeah. That might be fair. Yeah, I'm like, thinking of like when you were fighting the Triclide, the snake with the three heads yeah. spitting fire at you,
yeah.
and all you have are the like solid mushrooms,
yeah.
and you could throw them too far and it goes into a pit.
Yeah, yeah.
So you had to like make use of the few that you had.
Or you had to fight the fucking, and I can't remember their names, but like you had to fight that like crab that would throw rocks at you, and you had to pick up his rocks and throw them back
yeah.
at him. The boss fights in this game are awesome. Like I love the boss fights in this game.
That's actually not a bad argument for like probably amongst the best Mario bosses from side-scrolling games?
Easily. And I love the Koopa Kids, as Koopa I know most.
But those are like a lot of... like
very generic, right? Yeah, like in Mario
3... They're like a palette swap.
Yeah. In Mario 3, jump on them 3 times. In yeah. Super Mario World, there's like 4 different variants, but the fights are all pretty boring.
Yeah.
This one, like, they're legitimately like the Fry Guy, I think he was called, the fireball that would fly around...
Oh, spitting sure, yeah.
fire at you, and then there was the mouser that would throw the bombs at you, and you had to pick his bombs up, throw them back at him, and have them explode while right. they were going near him. Like you couldn't just throw them at him;
you had to time him. Yep.
The crab would throw rocks at you. Yeah. You know what? I never thought of that. Yes.
I never thought about that. Even Super Mario World had some variety.
Not like this though.
And it's interesting because this one had like the same mechanics, like hit them 3 times, yeah. yes, but they had so many things messing you up, like the layout of the
yeah.
boss
yeah.
room or whatever.
Like, because you had to fight Birdo at the end of every level, basically, of except like, for the boss levels.
Yeah, yeah.
And Birdo, to me, felt like fighting the Koopa Kids in Bowser 3, yeah. or Mario 3, because it was just, you got to grab 3 eggs, throw them at them, and then that was it.
Yeah.
And then for some reason, the globe was always inside of him. And after you hit him three times, he would cough spit up out, the globe. Yeah. And for the record, just in case anyone knows, because I don't know how many people know the background of Mario 2 or not. I remember reading this. Like, so in the original game, Birdo was a boy who wanted to be a girl.
Yeah.
That's what
kind
Birdo
of like a
was.
Trans character.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so just for the record, I'm going to just call Birdo her. Yeah. And that's what Birdo is. And just let's just, I'm not going down that fucking road. Birdo is a she. Call her whatever you want. I don't care. Birdo's a cool character. I like Birdo way more than Yoshi.
Yeah.
Birdo's like the cooler Yoshi as far as I'm concerned. Because he looks, like she looks like Yoshi.
Yeah.
Right? Kind
of. A lot, yeah.
I've never been a world's biggest Yoshi fan, and I like Birdo. So.
Yeah, yeah, I don't particularly care for Yoshi. Yoshi's handy in terms of like, oh, I can take an extra hit.
Yoshi's a great sacrificial lamb. That's all Yoshi is. Yeah, I'll get into that. I could fucking rant for an hour on Yoshi, overrated piece of shit. But yeah, so it's cool. Like you get to go through the levels and then you get to fight Birdos at the end of every level, basically. And then after you, when you get to the final level of a world, then you get to fight the boss, which are some incredible boss fights.
Mm-hmm.
And between each level, you can pick a new character. I think you get to repick your character when you die. I'm 99% sure that if you die, you get to pick your character again. I haven't played it in a few months.
It's been a while, yeah.
So that was a really cool aspect, too, because you could get stuck at a place and then realize, like...
Oh,
you
go I need to, this like, person.
Right. You're like, oh, I could really use Peach's float. I guess it's Toadstool back then, but whatever. I need Princess's float. Or, like, in the desert worlds where you have to dig straight down...
Oh, get like, your toad.
I need toad. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Because those levels are a pain in the ass. Because, like, you've got shy guys that are coming down on top of you because they're slowly walking. Fuck. And you're like, dig, dig, dig. And then run to the other side of the level. Dig, dig, dig.
Yeah.
And honestly, the thing that originally made me say that this is the hardest of the three Nintendo games is that fucking mask with the keys.
You pick up the key, yeah, you start chasing
and,
you.
Oh, so it almost, I think he's in every world.
Yeah.
There's a level where you have to go get a key.
Yeah.
And once you find the key, you activate this fucking spooky mask thing.
Did you know, like, I can't remember what specifically. This is where you'd need to go to the gaming historian. He's the one that kind of, like, broke down a lot of the stuff I know about Super
He's
Mario
great.
2.
Yeah.
He's so good. He was there's something about those masks that tie back into the festival.
Oh, that makes sense.
So the shy guys have masks.
Yeah.
Like, so many characters have masks. The ninjas have masks.
Yeah.
The, like...
That would make sense because it looks like just like it, I'm surprised that the mask didn't show up more often because like I mean in other Mario stuff because it's very iconic look like it's a pretty like I know that
especially
mask.
That floating one like that was the son of Super Mario 3 son of that game.
Oh fuck yeah, it is. It's the first son. I hate that fucking mask. So you would always pick up a key and then you would have to run basically to some other point of the level. And sometimes it was left or right, sometimes it was up or down, and then get to a locked door with the key to get through.
Yeah.
But as long as you were carrying the key, that fucking mask was right on your ass.
And you couldn't do anything about it. Well, because you couldn't even hit him with anything.
You couldn't hurt him,
yep.
But you could throw away the key. And as long as you threw away the key, then he would not follow you anymore. Yeah. He would disappear. And so it became a mask. You could use the key as a weapon, like a turnip or anything. So that's what it would become, is you'd run into a level, and then as bad guys would start running at you, you'd whip the key at them, kill the bad guys, and then the mask would float away.
Yeah.
And the first few worlds you have to deal with them, it's not too hard. You just, you know, but like near the end, it's a bitch, man.
Yeah.
Like, he sucks. I hate that mask so much.
Did you know in the Japanese, in Doki Doki Panic, they one of the things that they had in there was you had to beat every level with all four of the people.
Oh, Jesus. No.
So, so you would have to do like those tough jump levels with Toad.
With Toad.
You'd have to like do the digging ones with Toadstool.
Oh, dude, that would... I mean, I guess it adds replay, but that would suck. That would suck so hard.
Yeah.
I did not know that. Oh my gosh. Wow.
That literally quadruples your gameplay.
Totally, yeah. And honestly, like this, I mean, it has a lot of replay if you want to go through it again with them, but I feel the same way with this one as I do with Mario 1 or Mario 3. Like, I'll fire it up once in a while, I'll play through it, and then I'm like, I'm good for a couple years. Like, I had my fix. But that would suck. I don't even think I'd enjoy that. There'd be levels where I'd just get frustrated with playing with some of those guys.
Yeah. So you have beat this game though, yeah?
Oh yeah. Yeah, many times. I love this. I really do love this game. Like it would be in my top 5 favorite Mario games ever.
Mm.
And Mario's my favorite. Like his core series are my favorite games ever. Like Super Mario World, this game, Super Mario 3, Mario Odyssey. Like I love those games. And this one would be in the top 5 of them for me.
Would you did you ever beat all of the levels of Super Mario 2? Like I've played through all of the levels of Mario 1, but I don't think I've done all of Mario 2.
Yeah, like when I did that replay just recently on All-Stars. Now granted, I did it on All-Stars where you can save.
Oh, sure.
You know,
yeah.
But like, I don't, at this point, like, I mean, you can spam save states and that's cheating, but to just save because you're like, I don't have time to keep playing this right now.
Yeah.
Like, that's not cheating. That's fucking convenience. Yeah. And so I have done it with that. But yeah, I have. It, because you are like the warps and you can like skip to where.
Because that's how I always beat them. Yeah.
If you're hearing this, you're probably a gamer. And for our kind, nothing is as precious and valuable as our save files. Have you ever experienced the loss of a save file? It's soul-crushing. Dozens, maybe hundreds of hours of work gone like that. But at the end of the day, it's a video game. It matters, but kinda, you know? That exact scenario, but with a work project, an essay for school, data for your business, that's no joke. That can be really serious. You need a safety net. And I got you, fam, with my partners over at Crash Plan. Visit crashplan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year of Crash Plan. Crash Plan has been protecting people's data since 2001. And a couple years ago, they set out on their own with one mission, to provide the best damn cloud backup solution on the market. CrashPlan runs quietly in the background of your computer or Mac, and every 15 minutes on the clock, they create a new backup of every file that's changed in that time. So if something goes wrong, God forbid, you don't lose hours, lose days, lose weeks of work. Just log into your account and you can download your most recent backup from the secure cloud servers. And there's not just one backup. There's a laundry list of them. You can pick and choose which one you want. It's like the ultimate undo button. If you work on a computer in any capacity, CrashPlan is a must-have. And if you're thinking, ah, that's for big businesses, I'm just Joe Schmo. CrashPlan protects Joe Schmo. They offer a ton of plans and tiers. So there's a CrashPlan for everyone, from small one-person businesses like me to you fancy businesses and offices with staff and free donuts and all that stuff. Time is money. Why wouldn't you protect your work? Spreadsheets, diagrams, videos, art, podcasts. CrashPlan has you covered. Don't let data disasters slow you down. CrashPlan has your back and keeps you moving. Go to crashplan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. That's crashplan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year. Back up better with CrashPlan.
I love it. Like, I like the music. I like the design of it a lot. Personally, to me, I know that Super Mario 3 is gorgeous, but like, I think this game looks better than Super Mario 3.
Like, you're talking in the Nintendo era.
In the Nintendo era. Yeah, I do. I think it looks better than Mario 3. I just think
there's certainly some levels, because I feel like Super Mario,
like, they both look rad.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of, like, I feel colors is a big thing in it.
Yeah.
Because some of Mario 3's kind of feels a little faded.
It does. Yeah.
Like, I'm thinking the greens really pop in Mario 2.
Totally do. Like, when I think of Mario 2, the first thing that comes to mind for
me, that water level, waterfalls.
The sky behind you, or the waterfalls, the big green, like, hills or whatever the fuck they are that you can climb up, and then the bright reds of like Mario and Toad, and
I think it's
the best looking. I think it has, I never even thought of it till you said it, it absolutely has the best boss fights.
Especially compared to 3, yes.
It has great gameplay. Oh yeah, and it had the cherries, which I always thought was a cool way to do power-ups. Like,
yeah.
Because you couldn't really go to boxes and get power-ups in this one, like mushrooms and stuff. You could get a mushroom if you dropped the potion in the right place.
Yeah, and it happens to be in the dark world or whatever.
Yeah, and honestly, like, and this is something that I would, if someone was playing for the first time, my advice would be, so you're going to pull potions out, drop them on the ground, and then go through the door of that, and then you've got, like, about 10 seconds, I think it is what it is, maybe not even that long. On the other side of this door, it's almost like you go into like a reverse world where everything's
like
dark.
A shadowed world. Yeah.
And any plant that you would have pulled out that was a plant in the regular world is a coin in this one most of the time.
And those coins could be used in the
slot machine at the end of every level.
Yeah.
And then there's also mushrooms. And honestly, if you get a mushroom in this game, all it does is give you an extra heart for like a hit. It wasn't like the old ones where you got hit and you went from big to small and then you died. You had your heart meter, and as long as your heart had a heart in it, then you didn't die.
Well, it didn't refill your heart. It added another heart to your meter, yeah.
But in the early levels, if I was going to give someone a gamer advice, I'd be like, stock up on coins and try to get lives on the slot machines, because you'll need them in the later levels, and you can beat the early ones without being big.
Yeah.
And like, you can realistically get all of it in the early levels pretty easy, because you only have a few seconds, but go for the coins before you worry about the mushroom. in the early levels. You don't need that mushroom.
Sure.
Right. And then there's also cherries laying around.
Yeah.
And you collect cherries.
And that gets you your star.
And that's how you get a star. Once you collect so many cherries, a star floats up. And like, and sometimes you're not even... Dude, it sucks when you like, you need that star and you're grinding through getting cherries and then the star comes up on a fucking... in a wall or something and you can't get it.
Yeah.
And you're like, I really need that right now. Like, that sucks.
Oh, of course I don't have Princess to float over the waterfall to come back. Go get it and come back.
But I like that mechanic, though. Instead of just finding them in boxes, you just collect cherries and then eventually it'll show up. And then to get hearts to come up, you have to kill bad guys. And if you kill enough bad guys, then a heart will float up from the bottom of the screen.
Oh, is that how that works?
Yeah. So same thing. So like, so that's another tip was when you're, if you're in trouble and you're down to one hit, like especially if you're doing one of those fucking key things where that mask is chasing you.
Yeah.
Find a pipe where like shy guys are just constantly coming out of them and just keep hitting them with the key. And then after a few, you'll get a couple of hearts. Like heart will start coming up. And you can refill your health.
That's interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So like I just, it's also all these weird things that they've never done again. But like, I mean, the Mario formula is not broken, so don't fix it. Like Mario is great. Run from left to right, save the princess. It's awesome.
Sure.
But it's so fun to get to play one like this. Like it's like, did you ever play Mario Sunshine?
Yes, I did play that a little bit. I didn't play it all the way through.
Same. Right, I'm kind of embarrassed of it. It's the only one I never finished of all the Mario games. And I really wish they would fucking Nintendo give us Mario Sunshine on something. Because I'm like, Mario Sunshine is basically the Mario 2 of the 3D Marios. It's that weird ball. It's the second one.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'd really like to try it again because I have an incredible appreciation for this game because it's different. It's nice to change it up every once in a while, you know, and try something new.
Yeah, I feel like the newer Mario games, probably, like I'm thinking of Odyssey or whatever, where it's just like they have a lot of stuff going on that has been built up over the previous games.
Totally.
There's so many things. Where it like I don't know if you can have an oddball game like that anymore.
Yeah.
Or maybe you could. Like I feel like they're not going to do that. I feel they're just going to keep building on what they have.
At this point, Mario is worth so much money that I think that they'd be playing with fire, really going out of the, you know, going off.
I don't
the
know,
script.
But I don't know about that
because they tweak them and do different things. But it's like Zelda, dude. They switch up a Zelda game and everyone loses their fucking minds. Like Link Between Worlds on the 3DS is one of my favorite Zelda games, and a ton of people shit all over it because you got all the items right away, and they were like, "Well, that's fucking dumb." But it was like they're trying something new. Like it's always going to be the same thing, right? It's like it's a bad example because I shit all over Zelda 2, but like that's what this is like. This game in a way to Mario is what Zelda 2 is to Zelda, right? Like Zelda 2 is this weird game that you either love or you hate because it's so different from the rest of the Zelda games.
I mean, it doesn't help that Zelda 2 is like broken. There's a
I've honestly been meaning to go back and play it because I haven't played it since I was a little kid, just so that maybe I don't hate it as much as I remember hating it, but I think I hate that game.
It's pretty obtuse. Like
it is.
If Zelda 1 was obtuse, that one is insane. I don't know. It's insane.
Whereas like this game is completely off the wall compared to basically every other Mario game, but it's still very pick up and playable. It's a fun game, you know.
Yeah, you can figure it out. It's not impossible.
I love it, and I just love all the little weird quirky things. I love that you can pull a radish, and it's a fucking spaceship.
Yeah,
it takes you up higher into a level, and then drops you off. You know. And then, like we were saying earlier, the whole game is built around the picking stuff up mechanic, right?
Yeah.
There are parts of the game where you literally have to ride bad guys across bikes to get to new areas.
Yeah.
Right? Which is like, I think that's really cool. Like I thought that was so inventive way back then, at least anyways.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and then of course the ending to that whole game was like a weird one too.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So the bad guy is not Bowser.
Yeah.
It is Wart.
Yeah.
And
we've never seen him again.
I know. It drives me crazy. Like, I mean, how is he not a trophy? Maybe he is a trophy in Smash Ultimate. I haven't played that much in Smash Ultimate. He probably is. But he should be a fighter in Smash Ultimate. God damn it. Or I would love to see a game where Wart, like, teams up with Bowser or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, maybe where you shift from a dream world to a real world.
That was the thing. That world was called Subcon. It's literally Mario's dream.
At the end of the game, he wakes up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, maybe why couldn't they have a game that somehow involves the dream world somehow?
I think that would be so awesome. Like, make one where Bowser and Wart are really, like, working together through, like, sleep or something. And Wart is... Or, like, why hasn't Wart been, like, a bad guy in, like, one of the Mario and Luigi RPG games on the handhelds or something. Because he was really cool. I mean, he does look a lot like Bowser. Like he looks like Bowser's cousin or something.
But he's just no spiky shell.
Yeah. No, but he's cool. And the best, like, to me, one of the coolest things about this whole game is when you do finally get to Wart and you fight him, it turns out that he hates vegetables, which is the very thing you've been using as a weapon through the entire game.
Yeah.
And so there's a machine there producing vegetables. And
sometimes fireballs.
Sometimes fireballs. And you have to catch the vegetables and then throw them in his mouth.
Yeah.
And then he sells it like, oh, I hate vegetables. And if you feed him enough vegetables, he dies.
Yeah.
Well, that's so cool, man. Like, it's like, you're right. Like, I love Bowser and the Bowser kids, but those fights are so boring. They just, most of them are very repetitive. They're very like,
meh. Especially like specifically Mario 3.
Yeah.
They're a little bit better in Super Mario World.
Mario 3 in particular, yeah, you jump on each of the kids three times, and then Bowser, you just let him smash to the ground and he dies. Like, you just let him crash his way through.
Yeah, that was like one of the more inventive.
Sure.
Like, but that's only one in the whole game. Like, one interesting fight in the whole game. Meanwhile, but, like, all of them feel like they're a little bit different.
These boss fights feel like a fight. Like, you're throwing hands at each other, you know? But I think part of the reason this game was able to do it like the other games can't is because this one, they're able to provide you with consistent weapons. If they wanted to do that in Super Mario Brothers 1 or 3...
Well, and also jumping on somebody is not a de facto...
No.
Attack or whatever.
I don't think there's not a bad guy in this game you can kill by jumping on them.
You have to like pick them up.
You have to throw stuff, yeah. And so I think that like that's maybe why they were able to do such cool bosses in this game, because you're constantly provided with weapons, right? If they wanted to do it in Mario 3, they'd have to give you flowers over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And then you wouldn't die.
Yeah.
So that's I never thought of it that way before, but that's I love the fighting in this game. So.
And you had to beat them too. Like there was no cheap way of fighting them, mm-hmm. whereas like Mario 3, it's the same thing as like in Street Fighter, where if you time your attack just as the person is getting up or losing their invincibility, you can just like smash them again,
pop,
and
pop, pop,
and that's Mario 3. That's Super Mario World.
Look at
this one, you actually have to fight them.
And some of them are hard, man. Yeah. That Fry guy's a fucking bitch. I hate that guy. but yeah, like, whereas like, do you remember Boom Boom in Mario 3?
Yes.
Where it literally is like, anyone that's good at video games can beat him in like 3 seconds. Like pop, pop, pop. Yeah. So.
And that's disappointing. Like there's supposed to be like a build up, you know?
You know what? I know it's not a popular opinion, but I'll die on the hill that I like this game better than Mario 3. Not by much. Not by much, but I like it better. I love it. I love this game. I want to go play it again right now. I love the music.
I even think the boss fights are better than Mega Man. Because Mega Man has like a certain kind of like a way to it.
That's just ripping at my heart, my love of Mega Man. But you're right. Most Mega Man, especially on the NES, most Mega Man fights were like, he's got one way to shoot at you, and half the way he's going to kill you is just touching you.
Yeah.
Like, which I know he is in Mario 2 as well. But the Mario 2 fights are really good. Like, they're like I said, when you fight
Mouser. It's like a puzzle that you have to solve,
Fighting Mouser, you have to time the bombs right or get them to stay on the platform with them.
Yeah. And other guys, like a precision throw.
Yeah. Yep. And when you're fighting the snake, you can build a wall of, like, those mushrooms to hide behind. But at some point, you're going to have to come out and throw a mushroom at them and stuff.
Yeah.
And cool stuff. Plus, I remember a lot of these bad guys from the cartoon, the Super Mario Brothers Super Show. Like, I remember Fry Guy being on it. I remember the snake being on it. Right. Stuff like
that. And I never watched it, but I could see, because that's the era of peak Mario.
Yeah.
The Super Mario 2 up into the launch of Mario 3.
So that's another thing I think I love about this game so much, because I watched the cartoon first, saw all these guys, and I thought they were invented for the cartoon. And then I played Super Mario Brothers 2 and found them all. And I was like, what? Like, they are in a game. Like, this is sick. Man, half an hour on Super Mario Brothers 2. That felt good. That's a good game. Have you got closing thoughts before we score this guy and wrap up the day of podcasts we've done?
Yeah, I don't think I got anything else to add to that. It's just it's a fun, quirky outing as Mario.
It is. It's damn good. What would you give Mario Brothers 2 on a scale of 1 to 10?
In terms of back then, you know, I think I got to go like close to a 9 on that. Like, it's probably it's a solid game. Even now, like, I think it still stays at a 9 for what it is.
Yeah, totally.
Like, it's there's no side scrollers anymore.
No.
You know,
no.
So.
And the new Super Mario Brothers series isn't very good. They're fine, but they're not as good.
The In terms of Mario side scrollers, the one that's the best is the one where it's like you and three other people are playing on the screen at the same time. It's just utter chaos.
Oh god, dude, the fights I've had with like my girlfriend and my nephew playing those games, I get so angry because I take my.
I want to play with good side scroller people.
Like if you've got a skill. If there's a big difference in skill between two players, it's the most infuriating fucking. I'll go 9.5. Like the only reason I'm not going to give it a 10 is because I swore I wouldn't give anything else a 10, but I really love this video game.
Yeah, I don't know what my 10 is. I don't know if I have a 10.
You should. 10s are very hard to come by. I'm playing a game right now. Okay, so we'll wrap this thing up in a second. Super Mario World is the only game I'm ever going to give a 10 on this podcast. I swore by that because it's my favorite game. But I'm playing a game right now. In preparation for a future podcast, and I don't want to say what it is. And honestly, it has nothing to do with Mario. And honestly, it's like, oh god, like it's like it's going to get like a 9.9. It's like I'm like it's perfect. I just refused it. I said I would not do it, and I won't. But it's perfect. But no, I think that 10's given out to. I think people are too generous with their perfect 10s sometimes on game reviews and stuff like that. To me, if you're going to give a 10, it better be one of the greatest games you've ever played.
Frankly, I think this brings up the flaw in like the rating system of at all of like 1 to 10 is because really it's so subjective, and I think it comes down to what is this game?
Totally.
You know, like I found that doing movie reviews like I used to, and it's just like I'd rather tell you what is this movie or game about?
Yeah.
And this is like the strength of it, or like this is why someone might like it.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah. I totally
just do. Like as we're talking about Street Fighter 2, you know, it's kind of like, well, I don't like fighting games. Well, you're probably not going to like this one.
Totally.
It doesn't matter how great it is.
Yeah. When I watch game reviews, I don't even care about the score that often. I just want to see, like, is it something that sounds interesting to me? Like,
what's the features that are interesting?
Yeah. So to me, like, a game review either needs to be entertaining or it needs to just tell me like what the game is about.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if my game reviews have started launching by the time this podcast went out or not, but I decided to just go with like, I just explain what I like and don't like about a game and try to make it funny. Yeah. And I don't even care. Like the scores, I might use a different.
Polygon trying to do that now because it's like the score doesn't mean anything.
It don't matter. I don't even remember what scores like. I always just do that to try to give it a nice, like, tight way to end the show.
Yeah.
I don't even know what the scores are on any game we've ever done other than Super Mario World. I don't know.
Like, and the thing is, we're doing nostalgia games. So we're like, have you tried to do remember the game and do an awful game specifically?
I want to. But nobody has yet. I have a few in mind that I would like to do.
I feel
like
that's angry video game nerd or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it is, yeah. But there are games.
If it's a bad game, you probably don't play it again. And
yeah. You know. Actually, you know what? No, we did one yesterday that I gave. It's the first, I think, not that the scores matter, but I think it's the first time I've given a score under 5, I think.
Yeah.
I think I gave it like a 4 and was like, this game sucks. But
And I don't remember the games I hate.
No, that's why you don't want to talk about them, right?
They suck. I played it once. It's like, this is awful.
Yeah,
goodbye.
You want to play fun games.
Yeah.
Good stuff, buddy. That was great. I don't know what order these episodes are going in, but we just locked down 3 episodes of Remember the Game with my pal David Ray. Dude, you killed it today. You're one of the best guests we have on the show, and we'll do some more again really soon.
For sure.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, no problem.
That's going to do it for this week's episode. You guys, thank you so much for listening. David, thank you so much for coming over and talking Mario Brothers 2 with me. You guys, if you're on the social media, please throw us a follow on Twitter or Instagram at MemberTheGame, just like Remember without the RE at the front. Please leave us a good review on iTunes or wherever it is you're listening to them. I don't know what the good reviews accomplish, but we're supposed to ask for them. And please consider supporting us on Patreon if you haven't. Patreon.com/RememberTheGame. The deadline to get the 2 bonus episodes of July and to be entered into the draw for the prize is June 30th. It's this Sunday. So Remember the Game, Patreon.com/RememberTheGame. Please consider checking us out if you can. If you can't, dude, just thank you so much for listening to the podcast. You'll keep getting your episodes every Wednesday completely free. And with that said, this has been a fun episode. I am going to shut up and get out of here. I'll let you guys get on with your lives. Thank you for wasting a little bit of time with me. And I will be back again in 7 days with another episode of Remember the Game. Thanks for listening, everybody. I will see you in a week. Cheers.